Good morning, everyone. It's my pleasure to call the Task Force on Sexual Misconduct to order. The time is 9:03 a.m., and thank you all for being with us today. As a reminder, members of the public may access meeting materials and this committee's activity via the NCHE website at www.nche.nevada.edu. For those desiring to follow the committee's work, you may subscribe to the meeting notices on the NCHE website. My name is Dr. Elizabeth Gunn, and I'm the chair of the committee. And with that, Associate General Counsel King, would you please call the roll?
Yes, Dr. Kavita Batra.
Present.
Ms. Savannah Cedeno.
Present.
Ms. Gwendolyn Chen. Ms. Erin Frock. Chancellor Dale Erquiaga?
Here.
Dr. Tabor Griswold?
Present.
Dr. Elizabeth Gunn?
Present.
Ms. Yvette Machado? Chief General Counsel Martinez? Dr. Angela Moore?
Here.
Dr. Allison Netsky.
Present.
Ms. Michelle Sposito.
Present.
You have a quorum?
All right, thank you so much. I'll turn it once over to you once again, Deputy General Counsel King, for public comment.
Thank you. Do we have any public comment in Reno?
No public comment in Reno.
And do we have anyone here in Las Vegas for public comment? Ms. Hallman, was there any public comment on the electronic portal? All right, Chair, you have no public comment.
All right, thank you so much. It's my pleasure to provide a brief overview of our activities thus far and a couple of relevant items to the business of this task force. First of all, we'll be reviewing a draft of a survey today for consideration and possible action. As a friendly reminder, that survey comes after numerous meetings of the task force and consistent work across this task force and drawing on best practices from institutions and nationally recognized instruments. Another related item, as you all may know, there is an assembly bill with the Nevada Assembly. It's Assembly Bill 245. And it's in process for this legislative session, and it interacts and over it would supplant our bill, SB 347, that brought into existence the Sexual Misconduct Task Force at the NCHE level. Just to familiarize everyone or remind everyone, if you haven't been introduced to this legislation, I'll read a little bit of the legislation and describe how it might interact with SB 347. This is co-sponsored or sponsored by several assembly people, including Torres, who was one of the sponsors for SB 347. And the opening statement says, an act relating to education requiring the Board of Trustees of each school district to enter into a memorandum of understanding with an organization that assists victims of sexual misconduct, revising provisions governing the Safe Voice Program, creating the Commission on Higher Education Campus Safety, revising provisions governing certain programming related to sexual misconduct, which institutions in the Nevada system of higher education may be required to provide to students and employees, and underlined abolishing the Task Force on Sexual Misconduct at Institutions of Higher Education and providing other matters properly relating hereto. I will fast forward to Section 4 of this proposed legislation. This is Chapter 396 of NRS, and this is how it reads. It is hereby amended by adding hereto a new section that reads as follows. There is hereby created the Commission on Higher Education Campus Safety, consisting of 7 members as follows: the Chancellor of the System or his or her designee, 1 member appointed by the Majority Leader of the Senate, 1 member appointed by the Minority Leader of the Senate, 1 member appointed by the Speaker of the Assembly, and 1 member appointed by the Minority Leader of the Assembly, 1 member who is a student enrolled in an institution within the system appointed by the Nevada Student Alliance or its successor organization, and 1 member who is a representative of community-based organization that assists victims of sexual misconduct appointed by the chancellor. And it goes on to describe the terms of 2 years and so forth. I wanted to bring that to your attention because that if passed into law, it will again supplant our task force. However, this bill also continues to call for a survey instrument of some sort that addresses sexual misconduct across our system. And so that's why I want to proceed with our work pending the outcome of this legislation. All right, I think that's, thank you for that time. That concludes my chair's comments. And with that, we'll move on to agenda item 3, approval of the minutes. Regarding the minutes from the January 26th meeting that were attached to your packet, does anyone have a proposed correction or clarification? If not, I'll entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
This is Dale Urquiaga for the record. I'll move to approve.
I'll second.
Tabor Griswold, I second that.
All right, all in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye. All right, the motion carries. Thank you. Oh, I'm sorry. thank you. Anyone opposed? Say nay. Okay, thank you. The motion carries. With that, we'll turn to agenda item 4, introduction of new members. Newly appointed task force member, Ms. Savannah Cedeno, will introduce herself and provide general remarks. So we look forward to welcoming you, Ms. Cedeno.
Hi, everyone. My name is Savannah Cedeno. I'm a third year honor student at UNR studying psychology and sociology. Some organizations that I'm involved with at UNR include ResLife, where I'm currently a second year resident assistant in the most diverse dorm hall on campus, where I also run everything in regards to public relations. I'm a member of Sigma Omega Nu, a Latina interest sorority, where I run everything public relations as well. I serve on the Multicultural Student Advisory Board. I'm on the executive board for the Planned Parenthood Generation Action Club on campus. And I'm also in the IDEA department with ASUN, which is our student government, where I'm the Commissioner of Social Justice and Policy. As you can see, I have a strong passion for social justice and diversity. After UNR, I have aspirations of returning back to my hometown, San Francisco, where I want to attend law school at USF. Thank you.
Well, I saw everyone, Elizabeth Gunn for the record, I saw everyone smiling and nodding in awe. So thank you so much, Ms. Cedeno, for your presence today and for your willingness to provide your expertise, background knowledge to this important task force. We appreciate your presence here. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
All right, with that, I will turn to agenda item 5, which is our major business today, which is a system-wide survey instrument for the ENCHI system. To situate us with this agenda item, I'd like to reiterate the language from SB 347 and our mandate. This is section 12.5.1, which reads, the Task Force on Sexual Misconduct at Institutions of Higher Education created by Section 12 of this Act shall A, review any results of climate surveys on sexual misconduct administered in an institution within the system, which we have done, and B, each year hold a meeting open to the public to provide recommendations to the Board of Regents on how to address sexual misconduct of institutions within the system. To that regard, we're also mandated with the creation of a survey. And just as a friendly reminder, in October, Dr. Rani Dahar and I led a task force discussion on the development of metrics and methodology that may be involved in an NGO-wide system climate survey regarding sexual misconduct, which includes dating violence, domestic violence, gender-based harassment, violence based on sexual orientation or gender identity or expression, sexual assault, sexual harassment, stalking, or indecent exposure, including the recommendation of the survey instrument. You may also recall, going back a couple of prior meetings, we discussed the various kinds or directions of surveys that we might consider. And as a friendly reminder, the possibilities that we explored were, one, a survey that addresses or tries to identify the extent of the problem, climate goals within our system, that would be the a goal of a different kind of survey or survey two. Three, identify elements of climate for intervention, including students' attitudes and behaviors. Four, social change conditions, which would address analysis linked to actionable recommendations, sustainable partnerships, outreach and programming, and also to consider data that practitioners need in this regard. Because the surveys that we discussed across the system were implemented at different times, kind of disparate aims, we solidified on the first iteration, which is identifying the extent of the problem. I think that makes most sense in our landscape analysis to start there, get a common baseline across our institutions, among our institutions, and from there develop further possible instruments or recommendations. So with that, I wanted to turn to the actual survey. This survey is drawn from best practices. It also, a gracious and generous thank you for UNR for providing the draft of this survey, and a particular thank you to Dr. Dahar and Ms. Sarah Moody. And before we get underway, I also wanted to thank Dr. Griswold for her expertise and insight in assisting with the draft that you have before us today. I appreciate her willingness to work on this in a very demanding schedule that she has in Reno. So thank you for your expertise and bringing a solid draft of the survey to the task force for their consideration. So with that, I thought this survey is divided in modules. So I thought we could go module through module and ask for task force feedback and comment if any amendments are needed to questions in module by module. So we'll start with module one, which includes an introduction and overview. There are moments in this survey, primarily at the beginning, where should the survey be adopted, then the survey facilitators would create appropriate skip logic to direct students based on the institution. So the students would all be responding to their home institution. And additionally, information would be added about those home institutions, resources, phone numbers, contact information should students want support at any time during or after the survey. So with that, let's just take a look at module one. The first two questions are before you. If any time you have a comment or question, feel free to weigh in. We'll keep moving on to the next couple of questions, three and four.
Chair Gunn. The NRS requires under NRS 396.142, subsection 4, the climate survey on sexual misconduct must provide an option for students to decline to answer a question. In this structure, if a student simply moves on to a question, will they be allowed electronically to move on, or in essence skip a question? I just want to be sure that we've got the option here, even though we're setting a baseline initially, that we've got the option to comply with that.
So we'll work with the survey administrators for this, but in no moment should a question, should a survey taker be forced to answer a question. There will be no required questions. Dr. Griswold, if you have a different understanding, given your, this is your purview, please let us know.
That, yes, you have to put in a structure to require an answer. So if that is the guideline, then they can just keep going all the way through it until they find something that they want to answer or they don't answer. What's nice is to have the recognition that somebody looked at it.
All right, thank you for that clarification. So moving on to question 4. If there are no comments or feedback on Module 1, we'll look at Module 2, Institutional Leadership. This assesses survey takers' perception of specific behaviors of leadership at the respective institution. So we'll take a look at question 5 and then 6. Okay, if there's no comments or questions on 5 and 6, we'll keep moving along to the next question. If there are no questions or comments on Module 2, we'll move to Module 3, which is an assessment of the survey taker's perception of bystander readiness. These questions address the perception of sexual misconduct and sexual assault at the survey taker's respective institution. There's a preamble that gives some clarification definitions, and then the next question, set of questions, question 7, question 8. Okay, moving on to question 9. Okay, if there's no comments or responses to Module 3, we'll move on to Module 4, which is reporting observations. These questions address the survey taker's perception of reporting of sexual misconduct and sexual assault at the survey taker's respective institutions. Again, there is a preamble to this module with some definitions preparing the survey taker for the coming questions. So we'll take a look at that preamble and then question 10 and 11. Continuing on to questions 12 and 13. Okay, moving along to the next set of questions. You might be looking at the remainder of 13 and question 14. And moving on to question 15. If There's no questions or comments on the fourth module. We'll look at module 5, alcohol and sexual opportunities. These questions address the survey takers' perception of the interaction among sex, sexual misconduct, and sexual assault and substances at the survey takers' institution. So there's question 16 before you. Moving along to the next question. Questions 17, 18, and 19. Okay. There's no comments there. Moving on to question 20. All right, we'll next look at module 6, which is assessing the survey takers' perception of sexual harassment and sexual contact. These questions address the perception of contact with sexual misconduct and sexual assault at the survey takers' respective institution. So question 21. Moving on to the next question. Okay. If there are no questions or comments there, we'll move to module 7, which asks survey takers about their own relationships. So questions 22, 23, 24, 25 for your review. Moving along. Okay, we'll move to the next module. Module 8 addresses the survey takers' perception of interpersonal violence. So questions 26. Question 26, 27. Moving along. 28, 29. Continuing. Okay, we're on question 30, continuing past that. Continuing to the after question 30, we're at module 9. This question asks the survey taker to about their perceptions about their friends within the within their home institution, so abuse norms. So question 31 addresses this. And then moving on to module 10, this set of questions is ascertaining the survey taker's perception of perpetrators and once again reminding the taker that the responses are completely confidential and there's no way they would be linked back to the survey taker. So question 32. And then question 33. Okay, moving on. No questions or comments so far. This is, I think, good. So module 11, unwanted sexual contact with the victim or survivor. This set of questions, we asked the survey taker to consider recent incidents of unwanted sexual contact had during your time as a student at your respective institution. So again, for your review, question set 34. I'd like to thank Dr. Griswold one more time for fine-tuning this set of questions to ensure we're capturing our post-COVID environment. Thank you for that. So moving on beyond question set 34. And then 35, 36, and 37. Okay, moving on to question 38. All right, moving on. Okay, we're looking at questions 39 and 40.
Angela Moore, I have a small comment. Would recommend or suggest changing the phrasing of biological sex to presented or stated sex or gender to match with the kind of respected and updated changing of terms that are presented earlier in the survey of gender identity.
Thank you for that recommendation. We're on question 40. We'll move to 41, 42. Question 43. Moving on to question 44.
So, Vika Batra, for records, I have comment on question number 44. So this comment says select all that apply. I'm just wondering, because if we say select all that apply, this variable will be messy to be analyzed later. So maybe we can consider saying that pick the top three options or something like that means, but select all that apply will not be usable at the end.
Okay, thank you so much for that recommendation. Any other questions, comments, suggestions for question 44? Then that's a long list of options there. Okay, question 45. Okay, moving on to the next page. We'll look at questions 46, 47. All right, questions 48, 49. Question 50. And of course, 51 is asking for comments or feedback about the actual survey. Okay, moving toward the end of the survey. The last module are demographics, which is best practice for survey instruments. So questions 52 and 53. And 54.
I have a question on 53. This is Allison Netsky. I was just wondering what the purpose is of question 53. What are we trying to gain from that piece of data?
I think this is a susceptibility impact question that would lead, could possibly lead to recommendations about specified resources. Dr. Griswold, I welcome your continued input, should you have any on 53.
Well, I was actually wondering about that also, because question 46 and 47 and 48 are actually covering that if you had this, did it really impact your ability to maintain as a student, which is kind of being specific. And the question 53 then was more, did it actually develop into a physical or mental condition impacting the daily life? So there's two separate things here. Was as a student, and then was it something that was pervasive in everything that you did? So perhaps the placement of it as a rather than being in demographics.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if you're looking for a cause and effect or if you're looking for a vulnerability. And then secondary to that, if, I mean, any physical or mental condition is a very broad category. And, you know, looking at somebody who has, if we're just saying, we're requesting information, if someone has diabetes or if they have a physical disability that puts them at risk for protecting themselves, or I just think it's such a large question that we should.
Now that you've brought that up, and Dr. Moore and I are sitting here nodding going, okay, this one is actually oriented towards a disability. But they didn't want to actually ask you, do you have a disability? So perhaps rephrase it. This question, you know, came out of an established survey, but that doesn't mean that we couldn't refine the question a little bit better. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
This is Kavita Batra for records. I agree with Dr. Netsky. And also this question looks like a double barrel, because it is not necessary that a person would have physical and as well as mental at the same time. It might be like different combinations. So I think we should have separate questions if we are thinking in that route.
I agree. It's a compound question. We don't like really answering that, asking those. Thank you.
Angela Moore, I have just a side question, and this might be coming more from my own misunderstanding. So we have this module on demographics, and then earlier in module 5, we ask about gender identity and sexual orientation. Is there a reasoning for having race and ethnic orientation and disability and neurodiversity asked in a different area as gender identity and sexual orientation?
This is to Tabor Griswold. In survey administration, you put certain questions at the end of the survey so that you can get all the collect all the data before they may hit a question that they really don't want to answer. But because we're not requiring an answer, then that doesn't, this doesn't necessarily mean they put the demographics at the end. I think other institutions that use this had more required answers. And so because we're going to not require the answers, then perhaps looking, moving the others to here, but it's all about how you want to cross tab that information. And so then the placement of it then becomes more our thinking of where do we want to collect the similar type of questions. So this was our pass at it. And that's why going through all of this evaluation is excellent, because moving questions around is not a big deal. It's more how we want to present the survey. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you.
This is Kavita Batra for record. Maybe I might have missed it. Do we have age question? I didn't see it. Maybe I missed it totally. Do we have age question in the demography? I know age will not give us the variation because we are surveying college students, but still age is an important predictor. So I'm just wondering if we have age.
Elizabeth Gunn, so just to review, we do not have age. We can certainly add that in. That's a great suggestion. Thank you. The last few comments regarding question 53, I think there was a recommendation to separate those two questions and also move the gender identity question from module 5 into the last module with other demographic questions. Does that?
Yeah, I think gender identity as well as sexual orientation. Okay. Thank you.
I think Elizabeth Gunn, thank you all for the feedback. Any other?
This is Dale Urquiaga for the record. Thank you all for this work. I am not a researcher and I am not an expert in this subject. So as an outsider, it's very helpful. I have a very different question suggestion. Given where I sit, words like institution and college mean something. I'm not sure they do to students. And so we use institution here, which means something to us. And then at one point we switch to college. Well, there are colleges within a university and I have colleges within my system. So I don't know how aware of those things students are, but given where I sit, I trip up over this language and I worry that someone who is not the acting chancellor might also trip up and wonder, are they asking me about the liberal arts college or are they asking me about Nevada State? So I offer that. You might pick a lexicon and stick with it.
Elizabeth Gunn, thank you so much for that feedback. That is simply a typo. We tried to go through and eliminate any reference to a specific organization, a specific entity within an organization. It should read institution throughout. So thank you for catching that.
This is Kavita Batra for records. I have one more feedback. So in some questions, we use sexual misconduct / sexual assault. But at some point, we are defining both of them separately. So if we use both in the same question, wouldn't that be bias? Means it will, again, give us double bias, double barrel question, unless we perceive both as interchangeable terms.
So thank you, Dr. Batra, for the question, comment. Yes, I think it could merit clarifying for the survey taker's benefit if there is a separate definition when and where it's used in the survey. So we'll certainly review that.
Thank you.
This is Allison Netsky. I have a couple of comments that really about the beginning of the survey that didn't strike me until we really got into the sensitive nature of some of the questions. And the comments are about potentially putting a disclaimer and some resources at the beginning of the survey to alert the student that they're going to be asked sensitive personal questions that may invoke a stress response or, you know, some language in there, and also have the immediate resources that are going to be available to them. The reason I think it should be at the beginning is if you have a student that has been a victim or a potential victim, when they're going through this survey, they may just quit in the middle and never make it to the end where there is a link for services. And so I think we need to be sensitive about that. And then also in regards to the rollout of the survey, having an effort within each institution to have extra availability for, you know, same day services at the CAPS and other areas during that week that the survey goes out at the institution, because I think you'll see an increase in the need for some counseling services.
Elizabeth Gunn, thank you, Dr. Neske, for the feedback. That's why we have this distinguished collection of experts here to provide this important feedback. So that will certainly improve and make the survey-taking experience more supportive for our students. So thank you for that.
Tabor Griswold here. So when you look at the very end of the survey, that is where this was in other surveys that we looked at. This is where they put it. Are you recommending that we move that block up to the front? Because then there's each property will have, each college, each institution will have different information. And that's not difficult to code in. It's the placement of it. And you're recommending that we move it from the end to the beginning? Or do we should have it in both places? Thank you.
I would consider having it at both places so that, you know, people who have a high emotional response or a trigger towards the middle will have already seen this. But then people who need it at the end don't have to go back to the beginning.
Elizabeth Gunn, thank you for the recommendation and clarification on the structure of the placement of resources in the survey. Any other comments, suggestions, feedback? If there are none, I would like to entertain a motion to approve that we and recommend this instrument with the amendments recommended today to the Board of Regents at their next meeting in June.
This is Allison Netsky. I'll make the motion.
I second. This is Kavita Patro.
All right, thank you. All those in favor of this motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed, nay. All right, the motion carries. Once again, thank you all so much for making this a better instrument. Very much appreciate your attention and to the detail and importance of the solidity and significance of ensuring this is the right kind of instrument from our students at the right time. So thank you for that. With that, we'll move to agenda item number 6, new business. This is to hear your input on agenda items for inclusion and future agendas. To comply with Nevada open meeting law, we need to ensure that any comments and discussion here are limited to the description and clarification of the subject matter of the item, which may include the reasons for the error request, but no substantive discussion may occur at this time on new business items. So with that, any new business items? Okay, moving on to agenda item 7, public comment. Associate General Counsel King.
Do we have any public comment in Reno?
There is no public comment in Reno.
Is there any public comment here in Las Vegas? If there's public comment, you may approach the podium.
No electronic public comment here in Las Vegas. However, there is a public comment in person. We have Audra Flimsky.
Yeah, please come forward and state your name for the record.
For the record, my name is Audra Finley. My last name is spelled F-I-N-L-E-Y. I originally stated public comment regarding this particular committee on March 10th, 2023. One of the things that I wanted to bring into the element of this conversation is right now we don't have a working prevention for human trafficking in its various forms. Many human trafficking survivors have expressed that their exploitation began in college and institutional environment. I wanted to elect two particular community resources that should be able to support this, known as the Cupcake Girls and the Shade Tree, located here in Las Vegas. I also wanted to give an element of the spectrum of date rape, because I didn't see that on there, as well as sex trafficking. I feel like sex trafficking, a part of this sexual misconduct task force, is very important, specifically in Las Vegas. I also wanted to say there are important elements of sexual misconduct that aren't being defined in the survey that you all have put forth today. Each type of sexual misconduct has a spectrum of characteristics and levels of intensity in which it can occur towards an individual. A gray area of the institutional system is within the club constitutions, bylaws, advisements, and boards. The constitutions, as of right now, are not being made available to the students. We do not know what we are consenting to when we join these clubs, and it is very hard to get out of these clubs. We are not educated on how to get out of them. I have personally had to be removed from a club. I'm in the process of starting my own club right now, which I wanted to leave for the agenda number 4, the appointment of the new member of the Sexual Misconduct Task Force. I'm currently creating a student wellness and mental health awareness club on campus. Part of that will include education about sex trafficking and the pimp culture in Las Vegas, as well as through the institutional system of the entire nation. My goal with this club is to create more than one chapter within the institutional system to elect members within those particular institutions to be able to have training materials, as well as recovery, like rape recovery kits and things of that nature, to support the students in their recovery process. Thank you.
Is there any further comment in Las Vegas?
There's no further comment.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, if I may, Dale Urquiaga, for the record, I just wanted to give the task force a preview of what happens now, since our processes are often somewhat opaque. So the survey will be completed as amended today. I would ask the chair then to forward that to me, and I will prepare the agenda request item for the June board meeting. That morning, that meeting will occur, I think it's June 9th and 10th in Reno, but of course there will be a location here in Las Vegas as well. So the board is then by statute required to approve this survey, and at that time I will disclose to the board the cost of the survey. And we'll draw those funds from the chancellor's office. Since, as you know, there was no appropriation for this survey, but we will build that into the fiscal 24 budget, so that this survey administration, I assume, will occur when students return to campus in August, September, and the funds will be available to pay the institution or the center who's delivering the survey at that time. So that's how we'll operationalize the work going forward. And as the chair noted, even if the bill passes and this body is reconstituted in some way, the survey is still required. And so the survey will be built into the next chancellor's budget, and we'll be able to be continued.
Elizabeth Gunn, for the record. Thank you, Acting Chancellor Quiraga. On behalf of the entire task force, we are grateful for your support and presence throughout the last several months on this important work. I also wanted to take a moment to thank those in our NCHE offices here and in the North for making the meeting space and infrastructure possible. A special thank you to Ms. Aliza Hellman for all of the administrative support without whom this would not be possible. And again, once again, thank you to the task force members for your expertise and time and contributing to this important work. And with that, this meeting is hereby adjourned at 9:54. Thank you.